Hello, friends. On today's show, a guy misses his dog, cats fly around, some coffee is exchanged for dancing, and we finally find out what's brown and sticky. That's coming up. Jessica, please give us the intro.
We all need that one friend, don't we? The one that, no matter how crazy things get around us, always has some good news to share. Hey, what if you had two friends like that? That's twice the good times. On the rocks, not for long, because everything sounds better when you're two beers in. Now, here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
You need your phone.
There we go.
There we go. All
right. Dick pics in.
That's right.
I'm sorry, what?
Dick pics in.
I like the vibe of this place because it kind of has a, like, a 70s and 80s vibe, but of what people think the 70s and 80s vibe used to be.
That's true. Like, we dealt with that 20 years ago with all the 50s wannabes.
Right.
People
right.
who'd seen Happy Days and assumed, you know, they knew what they needed
And we're
to
like,
know.
Okay, you know.
Yeah, close enough.
Sure. Okay.
Sure. I should be wearing yellow and orange and wearing polyester.
Oh, yeah, the avocado.
Yes.
Avocado.
What's burnt? What is it? Burnt?
Burnt orange.
Burnt orange.
Yeah. There were some regrettable color choices in the 70s.
That's when they discovered polyester.
Yes.
But girls were burning their bras, so it's not all bad.
In the 80s?
That was the 60s.
Now that Doug has made that malapropism, I don't know what that is. I don't know why I'm saying that.
Anachronism?
Yeah, anachronism.
Not a malapropism.
You're listening to Two Beers In, where we talk about malapropisms.
And
anachronisms.
And anachronisms. And alcoholism.
Anarchisms.
We're just full of isms.
Yep. I am one of your hosts, Brett Weaver. I'm enjoying a gin and tonic with a stash.
Stash? A stash. Splash?
Of Angostura bitters and a lovely lime.
I'm your co-host, Monica Ballard. I'm finishing up my coconut mojito.
Yes.
And I have on deck. A Live Oak Hefeweizen.
And there's Doug over there.
Hey. And I couldn't get a menu to figure out what the fancy drinks are, so I have a Modelo.
Oh, that's also perfectly fine.
I like Modelo. It's fine.
We are here at Busty's, the coolest drinks in town, 6214 Cameron Road, Austin, Texas. We just thought we'd start traveling around this year, seeing more of our bars in the Austin area besides the Aristocrat.
We have not been kicked out of enough establishments. Let's do something about that.
Let's do it. Let's make people. I need more people to come up and go. Okay, what are y'all?
Traveling.
You have headphones on.
That's right. You guys are talking into microphones.
Why are you doing that?
Don't interrupt us. We're flying the plane.
Hey.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
what?
No.
Wow, she's
too soon, Doug. Too soon, Doug.
Way too soon.
We've got four positive stories to talk
yes!
about.
Yes!
And we would like to start them. I think I'll start with this first one. Arizona man never gave up hope that he would find his missing dog. And he never did.
All right,
no,
let's
that's go to
your
not true.
Right,
that's
story
not true.
Story number
yeah,
two.
Yeah, story number two. It was a really shitty dog. So he's actually glad.
It's all good.
8 years later,
it's
still happy the dog's gone. Even in the darkest moments, you never give up hope, said Doug. Paul.
Some guy named Paul
tells ABC 15 Arizona about reuniting with his dog, who went missing 8 years ago.
8 years ago.
So on January 15th, Paul and his husband were traveling to California to donate clothes and other items to wildfire victims. On the way, he received a call from an unknown number, which he ignored, as you do.
Yep.
The caller tried again, but nothing. Eventually, the caller left a text that appeared on his watch. My Apple Watch gave me a little preview, and it said, "Your dog, Damien, has been found."
Damien!
And I was like, what the fuck? So Paul was skeptical at first after responding to the text and learning more details. He goes, which dog are you talking about? And he discovered that his long-lost dog, astonishing reemergence, was real. Damien, a devil dog, no, it's a miniature pincher, was alive in Oklahoma 8 years after disappearing. So in 2017, Paul moved from Massachusetts to Arizona with all his belongings and his five-year-old pup, Damien. During a stop near Oklahoma City, he took Damien for a walk, but the canine got spooked, slipped off the leash, and ran, and he runt off.
And he runt off.
He runt off.
Like they say in Oklahoma.
Because we're in Oklahoma.
That's right.
We searched up until it got dark enough where my dad forced us to stop searching. We stayed for another week, and my dad was like, look, we got to keep going. We're renting a U-Haul.
Oh, no. Oh, that's an expensive search.
Yep. In the following years, Paul continued the search. He created flyers and posted online about Damien, hoping that someone would find him. So he kept trying to search, but the search dwindled as the years went on. Eventually, he got to the point where just seeing this missing poster hurt, and I didn't share it as often as I used to. He added, I was his everything. He was mine. And losing him was really, really tough. I don't know how much he was his because he lived for 8 more years on his own. So there we go. But those feelings subsided when Paul reached the received that unbelievable text. He and his husband ended their trip to California and made a 14-hour trek to Oklahoma.
Because planes not available.
Well, because he was driving. They were driving, okay. And they go, okay, let's turn around and go the other
way.
And
then it was like the changeling, and they found out it wasn't even their dog. Right?
It was actually...
It was a Great Dane.
It was a skinwalker. And Donna Bentley, an Oklahoma resident, found Damien after nearly hitting the dog while driving in an area 30 miles from where Paul lost the pup. Bentley brought Damien to her brother, Rick, who took the miniature pincher to the vet because the dog looked skinny but not malnourished. Veterinarians scanned Damien for a microchip and found one loaded with Paul's contact information. So was that... Okay, I got to keep reading.
Obviously, the microchip was from the 60s.
Yeah. Paul shared footage from a reunion... Oh, from her reunion. Interesting. With Damien on Instagram. Damien initially acts shy in the clip, but soon starts cuddling with his owner's arms because he's like, I guess this is my life now. It was sort of like fate.
What? I'm in Oklahoma? Oh,
the
geez.
Whole time he was in my husband's lap, curled up in a ball, he would turn his head back, looking at me driving, and gave this giant smile. The pet owner told ABC News, I felt like he was thinking, oh, my God, is this real? Did I really find him finally?
No.
Gil Biot, I'm trying to say the name. This is why I've skipped the name this whole time.
That's right.
Is thankful he microchipped Damien and said all pet owners should do the same for their pets.
Yes.
So the question is, when did the lady find the dog?
Yeah.
Like, has this dog been on its own for 8 years?
1 week after it went missing, but she got tired of it after 8 years.
Well, maybe they just went, oh, I guess this is a great dog. And they go, you know, I wonder if it's got a microchip. I mean, it could be.
No, I think it was, I think from the story that it was out on its own.
Yeah, it sounds like
it was.
For eight years.
Because it wasn't malnourished.
What was that dog eating?
Anything that didn't run fast enough.
I mean, it's a miniature pincher. It's not like a big dog.
Lizards.
It is Oklahoma.
Yeah. I mean. I don't think it's necessary. Yeah. When you're hungry, you eat.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe, you know, it goes through enough fences, goes to enough farmhouses.
I want to see a topography of the area.
Can identify every trash can he might have dived
into. I just want to know, like, was this truly out just like a way station, or was it near Oklahoma City or something like that?
Yeah, he only lived a week later because of all the worms he'd picked up in the last 8 years.
Yeah, that's right. He was dog pool and from being infested with the worms and had dog cancer
right.
enough to where he could just survive.
That's it.
That was all accurate, by the way. Yeah. All of that.
If you've seen the movie, that actually happened.
That was accurate. Let's talk about coffee.
All right. So last Friday, Coffee Milano Cafe in Middleborough, Massachusetts, posted a sign advertising a deal offering customers free coffee if they danced into the shop. Want free coffee? Walk in and give us your best dance moves for 5 seconds.
Only 5 seconds.
Yeah. Adding that their marvelous moves would be recorded for social media, and it turns out people were not shy in the slightest.
Mm-hmm.
On Sunday, the coffee house posted a TikTok showing what happened after the sign was posted. The clip is set to Los Del Rios Macarena,
sure.
Naturally.
Sure.
And starts with a woman who kicks off her shoes to bust a move, followed by folks doing Irish jigs, waltzes, flossing, conga lines, and so much more.
Yes.
The happy faces of the dancers is also reflected in the comments section of the video, which garnered more than 7 million views.
Wow.
And over 15,000 comments.
That it only kept to 15,000 comments. I'm actually impressed with that.
One TikTok commenter said, "This is such a good way to spread positivity."
Sure.
"Girl took off her shoes and moonwalked. She deserves 2 cups, wrote another. And someone else added, "First girl is vibes."
Sure.
"Why am I crying? This makes me so happy," wrote another TikTok user. And I think that reflects
all the algorithm.
I think
algorithm.
That reflects the state of the union right there.
Yeah, it's all AI.
Bless you, TikTok. May you never leave us.
Yes.
Yes. The cafe's owner, Josh Rashid, said that he got the idea after he saw a pizza shop doing the same dancing deal for free slices on social media. And so the shop signed advertising the dancing deal, and the next day his social media manager teased the promotion on the cafe's Facebook, and he posted a sign on the door. "We probably had 15, 20 people show up and dance for us. It was kind of cool." Rashid said he's thrilled that the comments section is so overwhelmingly positive.
Good.
You know, life isn't always easy. Sometimes you see something that just puts the greatest smile on your face, and it brings tears to your eyes.
Yeah.
Rashid says customers have been asking if he plans on throwing more dance for coffee parties, so the shop's social media pages are already hinting at the next one. "Just keep dancing," he says. "Enjoy life. It's short. It's fun. We have good days. We have bad days. But sometimes coffee and a dance makes it all better."
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I got an issue with a girl kicking off her shoes in a restaurant.
Honey,
like,
put your shoes back
on.
No.
She rubbed the coffee grounds all over the bottom of her feet.
That's right.
Back into the pot.
It's not a spa. Come on.
Come on.
And
ew.
Put your shirt back on.
What do you think this is? A Korean house? Come on.
So we had a dog story.
Now let's have a cat story.
There you go. Take it.
A Maine Coon cat named Mittens, of course, became an accidental jet setter this month when her cage was overlooked in a plane cargo hold, and she made 3 trips in 24 hours between New Zealand and Australia.
Crikey.
Mittens, 8, was booked for her one-way travel with her family from Christchurch, New Zealand, to their new home in Melbourne on January 13th. But Margot Niez said Wednesday that she was waiting for Mittens to be unloaded from the plane's freight area. 3 hours passed with no sign of the cat.
And then she forgot about her for 8 years.
And then, yeah. And then suddenly
and
there was this
was in miniature. Oklahoma.
And then there was a miniature pincher.
I see how this movie's being constructed.
It was then that the grand staff. It's a new incredible journey.
Right.
That's right. It was then that ground staff told Niaz the plane had returned from New Zealand with Mittens still on board. The return trip involves about 7.5 hours in the air. I said, "How can this happen? How can this happen? Oh my God!" Pretty good, right? It's pretty good. No, I'm saying it like her.
Okay.
We need an actor.
That's
anybody
what she says.
Help us! Help us!
The Air New Zealand pilot was told of the extra passenger during the flight and turned on the heating in the cargo hold to keep Mittens comfortable, she added. Now remember, this is a Maine Coon cat. This is a beefy, fluffy, floof, floof cat. So the cat's okay, I hope. Niaz was told that a stowed wheelchair had obscured a baggage handler's view of the cage. It was not a great start to our new life in Melbourne because we didn't have the family. We weren't complete. The saga had a happy ending. The pet moving company that Niaz used to arrange Mitten's travel met the cat on her return to Christchurch, and ensured that she was back on the plane for another trip to Melbourne, this time just one way. Mittens had lost weight.
Wow. In 3 days or so.
Yeah.
Wow.
But was otherwise unharmed. She basically just ran into my arms. She didn't ran. It's a cat. Cat doesn't run into your arms.
Cat. Oh, yeah.
The cat's
you forgot
like,
me,
oh,
huh?
You. No, the cat's like, yeah, meow, meow, meow. All which was, you asshole.
Give me tuna.
I'm a princess. Air New Zealand would reimburse all costs associated with Mitten's travel and has apologized for the distress caused. We'll work closely with our ground handler and kill that guy in Melbourne to ensure that this doesn't happen again.
Sounds fair.
Meanwhile, Mitten's not usually an affectionate pet is now the cuddliest she's ever been.
I will be nice to you if I see what happens.
Yes. Let that be a lesson to you.
That's right. The cat learned its lesson. That's really what this is about.
And eventually,
the cat came back the very next day.
That's right.
Yeah, we were both there.
And that, the answer to that is yep. The next subject. Stick with us. Why the internet is obsessed with one of the simplest tools known to man.
Zip.
Yeah, zip. For those who have ever found a cool stick and felt the impulse to show it off, there is an internet community of millions that wants to see it. Doug
prove
is looking.
It.
The,
prove
the
it.
Look, the
prove
look that it. Doug has given me. Stick Nation.
What's brown and sticky?
Doug. Stick Nation is a worldwide movement.
Sure it is.
That thrives on irreverent, fantastical, and downright wholesome descriptions of sticks and the people who rank them.
Oh, it's the Three Wolf Moon.
It's better
shirt
than three.
From Amazon.
No,
huh?
It's the
milk carton from Amazon.
It was the Chili's on 45th and Lamar. On TikTok, it's known purposely as Stick Talk.
Oh,
yep, there are posts about sticks shaped like hands, one that resembles snakes, slingshot sticks, wizard staffs, curved canes, and spiraled, twisted, and beetle gnawed sticks. The sticks are said to have mystical powers, and the puns are plentiful, like the Loch Ness monster found on the banks of Loch Ness. Now, I want to shit all over this story, but Monica remembers that there was a time where I played a shepherd for many years at a Christmas show, and there was a specific stick that I would always find to use as my staff.
Yep.
And enough to where I put it in a spot, and the next year I would come back, and that was the stick that I was going to use. And when that stick eventually disappeared, I was not happy that that stick was gone.
And so you formed Stick Talk and stuck
that's
to
what
them.
This is all about. That was going to be the next thing that I was going to tell the audience. Go to patreon.com/StickTalk.
Well, remember a couple of months ago when someone in Hutto posted, where are all the good sticks in Hutto?
Yes.
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 And it was one of the most entertaining threads I had ever followed. It was kind of like people said, you mean ticks? And they said, no, sticks. And they went, like from trees? Yeah, from trees.
Dummy.
It's kind of like, well, and then there were other people who said, well, I checked behind the elementary school because there's a line of trees back there. I would think that would be all the good sticks are. And they go, thank you very much. And people would come back and they go, pool cues? No. Sticks. It's kind of like, and people had other theories for what the person actually meant. And she was serious. No, I want sticks. I love a cool looking stick.
So much like that, this whole thing started with a single stick found on the side of a Utah trail in 2023. It was weathered and worn down, but had some excellent grain on it and a really nice grip, said Boone Hogg and Logan Juggler. Hogg and Juggler thought it would be funny to create a stick review account and post a video describing the stick and its advantageous properties. Their account was originally meant as an inside joke with friends, but soon found it, and but others soon found it, and it took off from there. Then the New York Times wrote about them, and their follower count skyrocketed. Now, their community of stickheads,
yeah.
numbers in the millions, Doug, and stretches across all seven continents. It has its own lexicon, as well as several notable celebrity adherents, like Lin-Manuel Miranda and Dermot Mulroney.
I'm still not going on your snipe hunt.
They love a good stick.
What makes it? But so, Monica.
Yes.
What makes a good stick?
You know, it's got to have some heft
yes,
to it. You
sure.
know, and it's got to. It's got to. I don't know. You just look at it and you go, man.
You really want to see what she's doing with her hand.
Yeah.
I'm taking this. I'm taking this home with me. There's no way I can leave this in the woods. This is just too great. But what does the article say?
It says, well, Hogg and Juggler do not consider themselves stick gatekeepers. We try not to be like an art gallery for sticks. We just want to share sticks. What makes a good stick? The stick is, you like that stick? Great. Then this is a great stick. Let me see your stick.
Yeah.
And we're like, all right. And it kind of reminds me of people who like rocks as
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
Show you my rock. You know, people have a favorite rock, and they just don't talk about it anymore.
You mean a pet rock?
Yeah, no, just a rock. Come on, Doug. When I was in Colorado, I gathered up some rocks. I have some rocks on my shelf at home.
Got rocks.
I took pictures of rocks just a couple of weeks ago out at Wizard Academy.
That's right.
In the parking lot. It was kind of like, hey, look at that rock.
Look at that rock.
With Brad Whittington going, hey, look at that cool rock. It looks like a face on that rock. And we were taking pictures of the rock.
Turns out we're all three.
Yeah.
We're 3 years old. That's yeah. We are. Yep.
Every internet movement has its arguments, and Stick Nation is no different.
Stick Nation.
Yep. There's just came from the literal ends of the earth. I'm in Antarctica, and there are no sticks here.
No there
I don't
are not.
Mind, imagine
nothing
there are
grows.
Not.
We can't bring sticks either. I found an ice
nope.
stick. Does that count? The council must be assembled, said someone. In fact, the fact that you're not allowed to bring sticks means that someone tried to bring sticks.
Yeah.
And that warms my heart, said another one.
Yes.
There was some back and forth over whether the inorganic compound would qualify. In the end, Stick Nation allowed the submission. So someone has an ice stick.
Yeah.
Sure, it's still a stick. It may be made of ice, but, you know.
Will it be there forever?
Depends on how cold it gets.
Yeah, it depends
right.
on
That's
global
right.
warming.
Yep.
Ultimately, everyone was like, you know what? It's from Antarctica. This is an Antarctica stick.
So, no foreign sticks.
No. So what's next? We really want to turn the page and the community into kind of getting them off their phones and into nature. And, you know, do some forest bathing. Like we talked about in the last episode. They're planning Stick Quest, where people will be sent on real life searches for specific sticks, and they'll have a travel log in which members of Stick Nation can pass the same sticks off to each other. So it's kind of like the ducks and jeeps. You know about those? The little
yeah.
You see them. When I had my Jeep, there was a time that I was given. I didn't know what I was supposed to do with them, and it didn't take. I didn't figure it out until after I didn't have a Jeep anymore what I was supposed to do with it, which was pass it off to other people.
Oh.
And I never did. So they
can
have
we really trust you with the sticks then?
No.
I don't think so.
They also have a book coming out that will feature all the cool sticks you can shake a stick at. You know what you can shake a stick at?
Yep.
Patreon.com/fast.
All right, no more for you.
No. Where you can give us money and let us know that you exist, and we will be grateful of such things. And it'll help pay for our possible move to more secure domain.
That's We're going to the domain?
We're Yay! Going to the domain,
That's
Doug.
Right.
Go catch the...
Plenty of sticks out there.
They've got plenty of sticks right along
They're
the railroad track.
Probably $45.
That's right.
Yes.
Per stick.
Oh, they stick it to you.
Yes.
We'll talk about something that's going on at the domain and the Patreon, because I think you will find that very funny. But yeah, and you can reach out to us by email by going to twobeersin@weightlesspod.com, and we will write you back, I promise. And you know, if you write me at weightlesspod or twobeersin@weightlesspod.com, I will tell you about cool things that are going on and stuff that is happening in our life.
We'll tell you where all the cool places are to find sticks.
Yep.
He actually has a list of all 383,000 really cool sticks in Austin.
Yep.
He will send that to you.
I will send all the sticks to you.
I love promises. There's no possibility you can keep.
Absolutely.
So I found the thread.
Yes.
And someone asked, and it was Colleen, and she asked, anyone found any good sticks lately? Where are all the good stick spots around Hutto? And someone replies, I usually get my sticks from the backyard. So apparently someone is already collecting sticks.
Right.
But they have some big ones out at the park next to Farley Middle School. The whole wood line is full of sticks. And Colleen replies, hell yeah, thanks for the hookup. Someone responds, steaks? Colleen replies, no, sticks. Somebody else replies, cigars? She replies, sticks. what does this even mean? I was like, just looking for some good sticks. Pool hall? No, sticks.
Sticks.
Yeah. And finally, someone just posted a picture of a black woman asking, are you high? And just the whole thread made me post on Facebook and said, this is why I love living in Hutto.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. I wish now that I had chosen a song by Styx.
That's right. But you did not.
I did not.
You did not pick a song by Styx.
I did not make that connection.
So, Monica, tell us what song that you played or that you picked.
So the artist is Postmodern Jukebox.
Oh,
which I love.
Known for their remakes and their covers.
Yes.
Yep. I like their Tupac stuff.
Yep.
And their
She's my favorite.
Yes.
Tupac's of sticks.
There's one.
And the song this time is one that is familiar to everyone. By the Bare Naked Ladies.
Yes.
Called One Week.
Funnily enough, the least favorite song by the band.
Really?
Yep. That's their least favorite song.
Oh, don't tell me it was If I Had $1 Million.
No.
Well, it was probably because it sucked to sing.
Yeah,
oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's probably
when you
true.
Would watch Bare Naked Ladies in concert.
Yeah.
And they would be super excited of all the stuff.
Yeah.
And they would get to One Week and it would brrr, that energy would just drop. And they'd be like, okay,
their
we're going to
get
we're
gonna, like,
their
yeah,
energy.
It's like Billy Joel having to do
Piano
just
Man.
Just the Way You
oh,
Are.
Oh, I thought it was Piano Man. So
but a surprisingly amazing song to make love to. So, you know.
Great. So enjoy this song, One Week by Postmodern Jukebox, or redone by Postmodern Jukebox. And I actually haven't heard it yet. So
oh, cool.
I'm looking forward to listening to it.
All right.
I have been one of your hosts, Brett Weaver. I've finished up this delicious gin and tonic.
I'm your co-host, Monica Ballard. I have finished my coconut mojito, and I'm working on a live oak hefeweizen.
One of my favorite. It is my favorite beer. And there's Doug over there.
And I have swallowed that Modelo. It is inside me.
It's inside my belly.
Yep. It's a part of me now.
All right. Listen to the song. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
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 It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said, I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying, get that together and come back and see me. 3 days since the living room, I realize it's all my fault. I couldn't tell you yesterday you'd forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry. Hold it now and watch the hoodwink as I make you stop think. You think you're looking at Aquaman as I'm a fish to the dish. So I like a shallot fish, I like the sushi, cause it never touched a frying pan. Hot like wasabi when I bust rhymes, be like Rian Rhymes, because I'm all about value. Bird campus got the mad hits, you tried to match wits, you tried to hold me, but I bust. Gonna make a break and take it. cause then you know the vertigo is gonna grow, cause it's so dangerous, you gotta sign a waiver. How can I help it if I think you're funny when you're mad? I'm trying hard not to smile though I feel bad. I'm the kind of girl who laughs at a funeral, can't understand what I mean, you soon will. I have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve, I have a history of taking off my shirt. It's been 1 week since you looked at me, threw your hands in the air and said I'm crazy. 5 days since you tackled me, I still got that rug burns on both my knees. It's been 3 days since the living room, you realize it's not my fault that a moment too soon. Yesterday you just smiled at me, and now I sit back and wait till you say you're sorry. Alvarad makes mad films, hey, I don't make films, but if I did, there'd be a samurai. Gonna get a set of buttercups, gonna find the kind with tiny mouths, so my hands are flying off the backswing. Gonna get in tune with Sailor Moon, cause that cartoon has got the boom anime, babe, the baby thing, the wrong thing. How can I help it if I think you're funny when you're mad? I try hard not to smile, though I feel bad. Well, I'm the kind of girl that laughs at a funeral, can't understand what I mean, you soon will. I have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve, I have a history of losing my shit. It's been 1 week since you looked at me, dropped your hands to the side and said I'm sorry. 5 days since I laughed at you, say you just did just what I thought you were gonna do. 3 days since the living room, we realized we both complained, now what can we do? Yesterday you just smiled at me, cause it'll still be 2 days till we say we're sorry. And it'll still be 2 days till we say we're sorry. And it'll still be 2 days till we say we're sorry.
Good news, everyone.